We play and call it work.
Hi there, and welcome to another Sit and Talk with me, Chris. For next week's Sit and Talk, it'll be Steve, and so in the comments below, have at Steve for, you know, if you questions or comments related to Steve. If they're for me, then have them at Chris. But I think we've gone through this enough times for most people that I think we all kind of get the hang of how this all works. And so let's just dive right into the questions. I've got Flatfoot. Chris, would you rather fight one Steve-sized quirk or 100 quirk-sized Steves? That's actually kind of an interesting question. I think I'd rather fight one Steve-sized quirk than 100 quirk-sized Steves. Mind you, though, 100 quirk-sized Steves, it wouldn't be too bad because Steve's got really bad hips, and so you just have to knock them over like bowling pins, and so it would be just kind of just knock them all over, and they'd fall over. Whereas a quirk, a quirk the size of Steve, it still only would be about 100 pounds, and so it actually wouldn't be too bad to fight either. So I don't know. I think either one wouldn't be too much trouble. I don't think I'd have trouble with either one. What a kind of crazy question to start with. Noah. Chris, how was Adepticon? Was everything nice? Was everyone nice to you? Did anyone take your lunch money? Tell us what was your favorite part of it. For us mere mortals in Ireland, who will never get to go. Well, don't say. From Steve. That's from Steve. Noah. It's a familiar name. Noah. Or N-A-O-O-A. Noah? Nawah? Noah. I know we've talked about that name before, but anyhow. How was Adepticon? Adepticon was good. I had a really good time there. I didn't really play a whole lot of games. It was more or less just like a bunch of days of just wandering around meeting people. It was really great meeting, you know, like Vault members and, you know, fans of Mini Wargaming and fans of Way of the Brush. A lot of people, you know, just kind of stop and, you know, say, hey, Chris, you know, and we'd chat for a little bit. I had one fella, can't remember his name, might be Jack. If I got it wrong, I'm sorry, buddy. He had his models on hand, so, you know, I gave him a quick little, you know, look over on his models and stuff like that. He was showing me one of his Terminators and, you know, excellent paint jobs, of course, you know, like, it's just so many paint jobs, so many good paint jobs around there. And the Crystal Brush, you know, I was surprised at, the quantity of entries is not very high for Crystal Brush, considering that it's got such a high first prize, yet the quality of work is superb. I mean, like, every piece there was something that you would expect to see first place at, say, like, you know, a Golden Demon or something along those lines. Like, just excellent work, you know. But Adepticon, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was one game I got in. I was going to get in on one game. It was a pirate game. Basically, it was a bunch of pirate ships, and it's a huge tables. They were playing across these huge tables, one fella asked me to be part of his team, and I was gonna be there, and I'm sorry I didn't get to go because I think we got busy. We ended up taking off from the grounds and heading out for dinner and stuff. But anyway, it was all about pirate ships, and you can jump off on the islands and go do missions and jump back onto the ships, and you know it was a pirate life kind of thing, and it looked like a lot of fun, and you know I've got some stills and I got some video of the tables and the models themselves, and the ships are just awesome looking. Like, they look like the basic, like, you know, like you buy like the model ships from, you know, the back in the era, you know, the, you know, 1400s or whatever, you know, those ships with just all the rigging on them and everything like that. Just really, really awesome, and it was just so much character, and it was like, in the scenario is that if you deviated from the plan, you ended up on the island of the cannibals, or you ended up on Pirate Island, or you ended up, you know, all these different scenarios. I didn't know how the combat worked or anything like that because I didn't get the chance to partake in the game. But you know, and that one looked like that one. I had my eye on that one. I wanted to partake in that one. And I didn't, so small regret. But one that I did enjoy immensely and was thoroughly inspired was playing Artemis. It's a computer game. Basically, it's every person mans a station. And so Owen got together a team, and it was consisted of Owen, Dan, Mini Wargaming Dan, Menoth John, this other Dan fella, I can't remember what his name is, just Dan, Miranda, Wargamer Girl, and myself. And we all man a station, kind of like, you know, like it's kind of like Star Trek, right? Where basically I was operating weapons and the guns and stuff like that. Dan was our helmsman, Miranda was our sensor officer, Menoth John was our communications officer, and Dan was our engineer, and Owen was captain. Owen was just sitting in the middle of us, you know, just kind of directing everything. Because you kind of do need a director, even though he didn't really have to, he wasn't manning a console or anything like that. You know, he just still had to, you know, delegate, you know, responsibilities and, you know, kind of keep the overall plan going. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. It was a blast. The first scenario, we ended up getting ourselves killed because, well, I turned off the shields while I thought we were safe, and we were heading back to base, and we ended up hitting a mine and getting ourselves killed. Second scenario, we ended up winning the scenario, and so, bit of spoiler alert, because I think Owen will be posting a video on that soon enough. But anyway, a lot of fun. It was like almost 2 hours of playing that game, and that was just too much fun. It was just because it was a dark room, and it had all these consoles all around us, and we're playing the game, and it was a lot of fun. But overall, yeah, Adepticon blast. Definitely probably doing that one again. I definitely probably kind of answers that, right? Although I may go in as an instructor. I may do a class, teaching a class, you know, painting and stuff like that. Otherwise, yeah, it would be really great to go back. I definitely would enjoy going back for another time. Maybe play some games or enter a tournament. Maybe a friendly tournament. I don't know. A lot of like the tournaments there, like the X-Wing tournaments, huge. And I was really surprised at how big this event was. Like it's only got about, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 people attending. And which is quite a few people, but I mean, you know, it's not huge, but the amount of space that this place took up, it took up big conference rooms and little boardrooms, and like I've been to Comic-Con and everybody's like shoulder to shoulder, but these rooms that they hold it in are gigantic, these big gigantic rooms. And these were the same rooms that they were holding the 40K tournament, and then there was another one for the X-Wing tournament, and like it was just huge. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Was everyone nice to me? Yes, everyone was nice to me. Nobody picked on me, nobody took my lunch money, anything like that. But yeah, so if you get the chance to go, save your pennies now for next year, because it'll probably be the same time again next year, which is the end of March, beginning of April. If you can come over and, you know, come in and attend an event, because this event is entirely just strictly wargaming and some tabletop stuff, but it's pretty much everything is just, it's all wargaming. It's everything from Warhammer to X-Wing, Infinity, Flames of War, even some smaller companies that were there demoing their games and stuff like that. And I didn't get a chance to check out a lot of them, but there was one that was this Celtic one, and there was people dressed up like, you know, like Vikings and stuff, and it was really quite interesting. Anyway, so yes, definitely check it out. If you can save up the pennies and come across and join us at Adepticon, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Where am I? Toby P. Kreese. Vivil V A C A Ur Swedish Chef present painting tutorial. Bork, bork, bork. When will we see that? I have no idea. I don't know. Whenever I muster up the courage to do a Swedish Chef tutorial. I know a lot of people have been bugging about that, and that's been months now. It's been months people have been bugging about a Swedish Chef painting tutorial. I suppose I should get it done soon, right? Daka daka boom boom. Daka daka boom boom. Daka daka boom boom. Daka daka boom boom. Daka 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 boom boom. At Chris, Paint, aka Paint God, aka put that down and back away slowly. Hey dude, do you think you could do a tribute vid to Bob Ross? An airbrush, a big 40k scenescape, a demon realm maybe, or spaceships in the warp, or could you paint your Elder Titan just wrecking faces in a scene from a game you played? Choice is yours, mate, or as Bob would say, it's your world and you can do whatever you want in it. Happy little nerglings over here, grumpy old Stompa there. Cheers, Chris, you rock. A daka daka boom boom. Yeah, I have actually considered doing a spoof of Bob Ross. Not so much painting that, not so much doing like a painting of, you know, a miniature, but like actual, you know, a painting, but of like, you know, a space marine or something like that. And, you know, he's in the middle of a battle scene and, you know, he's got a happy little trail of blood and, you know, bolter shells just twinkling in the night and, yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, I have considered doing that one. I don't know if I'd go on, if I'd go full Bob Ross or if I'd just, you know, be myself emulating Bob Ross. Hard to say. Because I really don't know where I'm going to find like a brown afro or, and I'm not doing my hair in an afro because that'll never come out. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? Dexter13. Hey Chris, I want to get into airbrushing, but I have no idea where to start. What brush and compressor would you recommend? Also, what else would I need in order to use GW paints? Well, good compressor and airbrush is really kind of what's available to you. For example, you go to your local hobby shops and say they only sell Awada equipment or Badger or Pache or, you know, whoever, then definitely consider picking up one of those ones because those are the ones that are going to be available to you for, you know, a considerable amount of time, right? Rather than trying to order something in and, you know, nobody carries it, you know, say for example, nobody carries Badger. And I mean, I personally use Badger all the time. I happen to like, you know, the Patriot 105. It's just a matter of preference. Really, airbrushes, for example, I think it's called the Eclipse for the Iwata. I think that's the utility brush. It's kind of like the Patriot. And, you know, it's a matter of personal preference as far as which one, you know, it performs better. I think they perform about the same, I think. And, you know, again, it's personal preference as to which ones you like. It's really availability in your area that's going to determine what you're going to purchase. And, of course, the compressor as well. Compressor, if you're going outside of the brand names of those airbrushes and you're going to pick up, say, like a shop airbrush or something like that, or a compressor, then, you know, make sure you get the little fittings that are going to fit your air hoses, you know, because getting, like, say, one of those big compressors, and they're not really that much. But I mean, like, you only need like a 1 gallon tank on your compressor, and that I definitely would recommend getting a tank on the compressor. But again, if you're just gonna, you know, shop by brand name, then, you know, you can't really go wrong with whatever brand name is available. It's really just what's in your area. If you know, if you have any of the big box stores like Michaels or Hobby Lobby or whatever, and they only sell a particular brand, feel free to pick those up. Again, it's personal preference as to which brand is, you know, performs the best. That's, you know, again, just one of those things. It's one of those arguments. I don't know why we have this, you know, this performs better or these paints are better. It's those things don't make the artist. The tools don't make the artist. The artist makes the artist. It's your own creativity. It's your own, what your own input is into the model that determines whether or not you're going to have a great looking piece. It's not your airbrush, it's not your paints, it's not your, what kind of, you know, sable hair brushes you're using. It's all in you. It's you. It's who you that's going to make, you know, the great art. What else would you need in order to use GW paints? Well, GW Air has a line of paints. Citadel has a line of airbrush paints. They come in a paint pot. They're not terribly difficult to use. You're better off getting little pipettes to draw the paint out of the pots and put them into your airbrush. rather than trying to pour them, because that's just a mess. I've done both, and pipette is obviously the easier way to go. If you're gonna go with just regular, if you can't, like you say, you're on a tight budget, and you know, getting a whole new line of paints is just not, you know, not in the cards right away, then yeah, definitely you can use Citadel paints, and I have a few videos in the vault, you know, on using just regular paints. I use like regular Vallejo paint through the airbrush, not Vallejo air, but just regular Vallejo, and you know, P3 and Citadel, and you know what I mean, I just go through different paints and just kind of just push them through the airbrush. The brush I'm using in the videos is the Patriot 105, again, because it's the only brush I've been using, and it's the one I've started with, and you know, I've gotten really comfortable with it. And yeah, so to thin down Citadel paints though, you just need a bit of water or any kind of acrylic thinner, but you're better off using like any kind of airbrush thinner. Vallejo does sell a really good airbrush thinner. The thinner that comes with Citadel Air, it's really, really runny. It almost looks like Le Mane Medium, but it's a little bit different than the Le Mane Medium. It's not the same, just because of the smell. They don't smell the same. But yeah, it's all just, you know, you can use just water to thin the Citadel paint, because it is a water-based acrylic paint, unlike Tamiya or I think MIG. I think those are both like solvent-based acrylics. They got like an alcohol base to them. So, anyway, where was I going with all that? Yeah. So if you're on a tighter budget and you're looking to get an airbrush, and you just got your airbrush and you want to use some paints, but all you have is Citadel paints, feel free to use them. It's just that pouring from the paint pot is just kind of a pain. But again, most Citadel paints are kind of thick, so you know, you should be able to maintain a bit of control getting that in there. Using a pipette for those kind of paints, you know, again, because they're kind of thick, you know, might be a bit of an issue. I've never tried it with the pipette, so I mean, you know, buyer beware. So hopefully that answers your question, Dexter. Mighty Knoblar at Chris, have you listened to any Baby Metal or Ladybeard? If not, I highly recommend it. Give it more than one shot though. It can take a while to warm to it. For some, it is thoroughly enjoyable once you get into it. I have listened to Baby Metal. I've only listened to a couple songs. I haven't rushed out there to buy their albums or anything like that. It is an acquired taste, I will say. What was the other one? Ladybeard? No, I've never even heard of that one. Ladybeard. It just sounds kind of funny, Ladybeard. But no, I've not listened to that one. Baby Metal I have. I do like my heavy metals. And Baby Metal is kind of in there as far as weird stuff. But I mean, like, I've listened to some really kind of experimental music. If you've really listened to anything by Mike Patton, you know, frontman for Faith No More, if you listen to any of his side projects, they're way out there. So yeah, Baby Metal is just Japanese. There's a term for it with the little girl singing, and it's just death metal. I can't remember what the heck the term for the little girl sound or something. There's a term for it. I can't remember. But yeah, listen to it. You know, didn't make me want to rush out and get it. But I mean, I didn't mind it. It was actually kind of fun. You know, because like it was just this grinding track right in the beginning of it. And just, you know, and then you hear these high-pitched little girl voices. It's like, whoa, what? That's quite a contrast. And again, it's interesting, but I will have to check out Ladybeard, because now my interest is piqued. Who's next here? Thavian. Chris, please tell me you plan on doing painting workshop at Valhalla. Also, can't wait to play Talisman up there. Was that it? Yeah. Painting workshop at Valhalla. It's possible. That's entirely possible. I don't know if I want to go on a vacation and work, but it's possible. I mean, I could bring some paints. Maybe might be good practice too, considering that if I do consider putting on a class at Adepticon, that maybe this might be good practice for doing in class. Have, you know, help me kind of get something kind of structured out. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's possible. It's possible, Thavian. It's possible. It's possible. Anything's possible, man. Got a dream. Where are we? Drunken Moose, Chris. If you could play in any band, what band and instrument would you choose? Well, I have played in a band when I was a younger fellow, and I was lead singer. And that wasn't bad. I mean, like, I used to sing like in a church choir. I used to sing in a choir. And then, of course, then I sang, you know, for our band back in the day. And this was in high school. We didn't really go much further than that, although my former bandmates, which were mostly family members at the time, have gone on and continued, you know, their work in music. My cousin, who used to play guitar, he still plays guitar in a band, Guard to Bedlam. Our other guitar player, Colin, he's gone up north and he's got his own band. In fact, he had, I think, a record deal with some Canadian record label. Anyway, his music was on Much Music when Much Music used to play music videos. His video used to play sometimes. Oh, and my buddy, the drummer, Chris, he moved down south. He drums with another band as well, down south in New Mexico, or is it Arizona? I think he's down there somewhere where it's really, really hot. Anyway, he's down that way. Yeah, but now, of course, then, you know, when I was growing up, you know, heavily influenced by a lot of rock and metal and stuff like that, my brother, you know, that stuff kind of wore off on my younger brother. And so then my younger brother, he joined the band with my cousin, Guard to Bedlam, and so they all play and rock it out. And of course, they had the opportunity to open for Kiss when Kiss showed up in town, and they opened for them. And so that was probably one of their biggest highlights. But anyway, so yeah, what would it be? Any band? If I could play in any band, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be any band. I think I'd rather do my own thing, make my own sound, be original. You know, at least as original as you can these days. It's kind of tough. Mentality, Chris. Swedish Chef, how to combat phase, please. Well, what? Swedish Chef, how to combat phase, please. I don't get the question. I don't get the question, Mentality. But I don't know. That's kind of freaking me out now. We'll have to skip over that one because I don't know what that means. Swedish Chef, how to combat phase, please. Like the Swedish Chef teaching a how-to class on how to play Warhammer? That'd be kind of interesting. See, I just need the hat and the mustache, right? And then the chef coat. And it'll be away I go. I'll be rocking and rolling. But anyway, Drunken Moose. Chris, do you... didn't I read Drunken Moose? Didn't I just read that? Oh, he's got another question. Okay. Do you like the idea of you hosting a show where the content producers paint blindfolded, model painting each other? Do I like the idea of hosting a show where the content producers paint blindfolded? Sure. Every day, like, you know, if it was like an everyday kind of show or even a weekly show, I think it would kind of have its limits as far as, you know, what you could paint blindfolded. But yeah, I mean, as a challenge, sure, why not, right? Because, you know, sometimes when you're putting your hand close to your paint pots, and you can almost feel which one's the purple one or which one's the red one, right? And you can almost feel it. Now, if it's just muscle memory, because you always put them back in the same spots, but usually I kind of end up getting them messed up all over the place. And so I usually kind of feel it. Oh, here it is. And I got the paint. And it's the right paint. And yeah. Is it like using the Force? I don't know. Is it some sort of Jedi power? Maybe. But I don't know. Do I like the idea of hosting a show? Sure, I do like the idea. I like the idea. There's a lot of ideas I like. Some ideas, not so much, but you know. What time we at here? Holy moly, we're almost done for this first segment. Erber. Chris, are you, besides Matt and Dave, the employee who have been working at Mini Wargaming the longest among the current staff? No. There's Justin as well. Justin handles our shipping and receiving. He's probably been here third most behind Matt and Dave. Would that be right, Justin? You're third senior?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're third senior. Yeah, so Justin's third senior. Justin's not on camera very often. I don't know why, because he's such a pretty man. But, yeah. Really, come on, you want to get on camera here? No. All right. You had your chance. I'm never asking again. So, yeah, it would be Matt and Dave, and then Justin right behind them. He'd be the third man. And then it would be probably me right after Justin that had been here the longest. Survived the longest, maybe? Is that the right word to use? Would you use survived?
Yeah.
Survived, yeah. We agree, survived. Yeah, it's kind of, in the Darwinian sense, we've survived. Eldar shall rise. Chris, I am new to 40K. I got into it through the PC games, but decided to get into the tabletop. I chose Eldar for my army after playing Dawn of War 2. What would you recommend for starting a Bail-Tan style army? I know I want Mogan Ra for my HQ and some Dark Reapers. Ooh, good choice. Also, how do the formations work in a combined arms attachment? Do they take up one slot, even though it might be made up of three units, or does each unit in the formation take up a slot? No, it's the formation takes up one space within the formation. You can do the combined arms. And then you can buy the formations and be completely, legal force like that. Starting off with Mugen Ra and some Dark Reapers, awesome. Dark Reapers, really good, really killy. If you're facing a lot of Space Marines, definitely take lots of Dark Reapers. Especially now that, I think it was in the previous codex they changed it, but in this codex as well, where Dark Reapers can also walk and shoot the gun as well. Before, many moons ago, Dark Reapers had to stay put and fire the missile launchers all over the place, and they had the limited range, whereas now that they can walk and shoot and they can do whatever they like, right? So doing a Bail-Tan style army, well, if you're gonna go with Dark Reapers and you're gonna maximize that heavy power, that firepower, that range, you definitely need some close-in support, because once the enemy makes it close combat with you, then you're kind of pooched, and you need some counterattack in that regards. So you need either some Scorpions or some Banshees or both. You need some Shining Spears with Banshees and Scorpions or both. Going Bail-Tan, I mean, it's all aspect warriors, right? So you have the free ability to go just strictly aspect warriors, which is a very powerful force. And you can even leave them outside, wave serpents. You don't even have to purchase wave serpents, and just go strictly foot troops and still be a highly mobile force. Warp spiders, that's another one. Warp spiders, my god, can you imagine playing a game where Dark Reapers are just, mowing down Space Marines, and then as the Space Marines are trying to advance, there's Warp Spiders guarding them, and every time the Space Marines try to deal with the Warp Spiders, they keep disappearing and moving around, and then as their numbers get whittled down, then the Banshees and Scorpions charge in and finish off what's left, and backed up by an Avatar. And I mean, like, Avatar, he's no slouch, and, he'll make those foot sloggers fearless, and you won't break, and of course he'll be your spearhead. Mugen Ra, he is an excellent choice for HQ. He's not terribly priced. He's a little high priced, but I mean, like, he's not that bad, considering that I can't remember if he still has the ability to single out people, if he still gets precision shot or something like that. But anyway, Yeah, he's still an excellent choice. Another Phoenix Lord I would go with alongside him would be somebody like probably Jane Czar or Fugin. I can't remember how to pronounce the name. Fiat. So, anywho, yeah. But I mean, going with the Dark Reapers as your main core, like as your central part of the army, sure. Depending on how many you get, you know, if you had like say 4 or 5 squads of them, kind of just traipsing about, it'd be pretty scary. Any Marine player, you know, would be wicked scared of that. But again, you know, you got to get them in cover, you got to protect them, and I mean, like, you know, they're Eldar, so they'll die just as easily as other Eldar things will die. So either slap them in some wave serpents, or get them in cover, and of course give them somebody also who's going to be able to protect them as well, right? Warp spiders, close in support. I would say close support. Warp spiders actually would probably the best choice for protecting them, because as the Marines close, or well, whoever closes, you know, the Warp Spiders are jumping about and, you know, running amok, while Dark Reapers are just like laying fire into them and destroying all. And yeah, so that's about as good advice as I can give on that particular subject. Yeah. So hopefully that helps. Eldar Shall Rise, and you know, of course, even though you're going with the Beltan style armor, you don't have to color. Well, the Aspect Warriors are all done. Like the Aspect Warriors are all done in their shrine colors, so you don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, what colors should they be or anything. You can paint them their default kind of colors, or any variation of that. Yeah, so should be good. You just got to put the little symbol there with the little heart on it on their loincloths and stuff like that. I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, if you want to have them unified, yeah. You probably should. Heck, you probably all the loincloths on them, you can do like the Beltan, where it's kind of a green with the thorns, has the symbol, and all the Aspect Warriors have that, you know? So they all look unified. Just an idea. Alrighty, last one. This is from Nex. Chris, have you seen a YouTube channel called Way of the Brush? The guy who hosts it looks a lot like you. Doppelganger? Are you serious? Is he messing with me? Nexus? Are you messing with me, dude? Yeah, that is me, dude. If you've ever watched Way of the Brush, if you ever watched the show, you'll see that when I start talking, I say, you know, welcome to another episode of Way of the Brush with me, your host, Chris, a.k.a. Mini Wargaming Chris, a.k.a. the Name Butcher. And so, yeah. And of course, Way of the Brush, I mean, if you're not watching it, then, you know, what are you doing with your time? Because it is both informative and entertaining. It is the most interesting and informative 120 minutes on the internet on the wargaming lifestyle. And so that's it for our free edition. Join us in the vault for the next segment of this sit and talk with me. If you're not already a Vault member, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial and just click the link below in description. And of course, if you want your questions for Steve will be the next sit and talk. And so if you have any questions for Steve, have them at Steve in the comments below. And if it's in response to what I've had to say today, then feel free to write in and just have it at Chris or at, no, just leave it at Chris. I was going to say something clever there, but no, it's not even clever. It's kind of dumb, actually. That's yeah, I got nothing. Happy wargaming.